Today, I have so many thoughts in my heart and in my mind right now. But first of all, I wanted to formally thank Pastor Duane and Pastor Mary for having us here on behalf of Uttermost Ministries and Rhema Bible Training Center, South Pacific, Vanuatu, Fiji, the church there, and the men that are on the crew. I want to officially thank you and formally look you in the eye as a missionary and someone that you've supported for many, many years.
Whoa, hello.
You're welcome.
Testing.
Are you on?
I'm on.
Okay.
I think it's all working. Do you want to double check?
Is it the mute?
I think either she's on the wrong channel, either it's got switched, or you're supposed to turn on this version.
Oh.
Where's Jerry when I need him?
Whatever shall we do? Can you hear me if I keep going?
Oh. I heard you there. Try it again.
I believe in wireless.
There you go. Wonderful.
All right. Well, I believe you did hear a lot of what I said. But the chance for us to come from so far and be able to look you in the eye and say thank you so much for all of your support. And on behalf of the students as well that you've supported, we have students that come in, and I don't even know how they make it on the airplane, but they come in, they have one set of clothes, they have a pair of flip-flops, we call them jandals, they have no food, but they want to be trained in the Word of God. And it's usually men in that condition, young men in their 20s, that have given everything that they have for a plane ticket to get to Samoa. And they don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know if they're going to be eating rice. Some guys would shoot pigeons off the roof of the school and put those in a rice cooker and eat that for food. But thank you in Samoan. Fafikai tele lava vialeatua. Glory to God for everything that you've been able to help us accomplish in the South Pacific.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, I am an artist. I believe that a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Amen.
I believe that a video is worth a billion words. So this morning as we prepare, we're going to share a little bit about the vision and what we do there in the South Pacific. If you're not familiar, I know a lot of you are, but I've brought two separate videos. The first one is going to show and showcase the three arms of our ministry. And that when I say our, I mean our ministry, because you have a great part in this. And I believe when we're called before the Lord and stand before Him and give an account of our lives, that you being involved in reaching the last places on earth and the last people on earth to hear the message of Christ will be a significant jewel in your crown that the Lord Himself will bring up, talk about, and say, well done, church here, that you helped reach those last places in the world. So we have three arms in our ministry. Haven't you always wished you had three arms? Well, we do. We have a school. We believe in training ministers and sending them out into the uttermost parts of the earth, training people faith, training people how to be led by the Holy Spirit, training people how to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes. And our pattern for ministry is Christ Himself. So that's one of the arms, the training centers. We're training ministers. The other arm is All Nations Church. And we believe in building strong local families, training people to operate in faith, uniting them together in a common, rewardable purpose on earth, so that when we all stand before the Lord, I believe by you attending this church, If you're not called to stand behind here, you're called to do something in respects to the harvest on this planet.
Amen.
That's rewardable. Everybody has a rewardable purpose, not just the pastor, not just those that are in the fivefold ministry. But if you're part of a church like this, you being here, you putting your money into the offering, you serving on sound, or I saw people dishing out cookies, I saw people vacuuming, I saw people setting up, all those things take on kingdom significance, and they have a reward connected to them. So you'll get your crown. I believe that as a pastor, everyone that attends the church should get a crown as well for what God has asked you to do. So we believe that with All Nations Church, that we're bringing people together, training them to operate in faith, training them to know God, training people to do great things for God here in their life and have a rewardable purpose down here, and then an eternal life with that crown on their head. Praise God.
Amen.
That's not our message. And then we have this beautiful, beautiful ship named Uttermost Witness, which is just a miracle. Everything about her is a miracle. We believe with this ship that we'll be able to reach the last islands in the South Pacific with the message of Christ. I believe that with all my heart. I've bet all my life on it, all my money on it, all the poker chips have been put in the middle of the table. We have given everything to keep this ship going out into all the South Pacific, a vast region with thousands of islands, many that have never heard the message of Christ. And our message is to seek and to save on these islands. So here's our first video. I believe it's about 4 minutes long, and it showcases these three arms of the ministry. I hope you enjoy it. If you've seen it before, you're going to see it again.
With a beautiful ship called Uttermost Witness. And this ship, I believe that she'll reach some of the last islands here in the South Pacific, places that have never heard the good news. I believe in our generation that we'll be able to reach some of the last places in the world here in the Pacific with this message of Christ. Together, we're reaching the uttermost parts of the earth.
Wonderful, wonderful. I hope that gives you a good idea of what's happening there in the Pacific. A little bit of history before we start the next video. The gospel didn't arrive in the South Pacific, in the Samoan Islands, until 1830, which is not very long ago. Pastor already quoted the scripture of what Jesus said, and the last words he said before he left was that this gospel needed to be preached. We would be empowered to be witnesses, and it started there in Jerusalem, right where they were, and then Judea, Samaria, and then even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, it took 1,830 years for the gospel to reach all the way around the globe to the remote South Pacific Islands for the first time to my husband's people. And isn't it interesting, they actually had a prophecy in their culture that someday a man with white skin would come through the crack in the sky, which is the horizon, and he would break through the crack of the sky, and he would come and he would tell us of the true and the living God, real destiny in your heart kind of things. And John Williams from the London Missionary Society in 1830 came on a ship that he bought himself, he financed himself. Nobody believed in having a ship in these remote regions, but he believed that he had a call of God in his life to reach these remote places. And he came on a ship through the crack in the sky. He landed in Sulialanga Wharf, is right where we were, almost the exact place where Uttermost Witness was docked for a little while when we went over there to do a crusade. And he preached Christ to the paramount high chief, Malietoa. And Malietoa bowed his knee and accepted Christ in 1830. And when he bowed his knee, the chiefly system is whatever the chief does, you do. So in essence, the whole nation bowed their knee, and they have continued to bow their knee and to become a great light in the South Pacific. Amen. From here, John Williams went various places, but several years later, he wound up in the Vanuatu group. I believe it was in 1839 where he went to Vanuatu and pulled up to the island of Aramonga and came out with one guide. And as they approached the beach, men came out towards them, and they should have known to retreat immediately because there were no women or children in the area. And as they were about to turn and run, John Williams was grabbed and put to death, eaten, and the other man that was with him managed to slip away and get back to the ship. And that's how that great missionary that brought the message of Christ to our islands, his life ended there as a martyr. And what an amazing way to live your life. What an amazing way to give your life. Many years later, about 10 years later, the Samoans regrouped and they wanted to go get the bones of John Williams. And they canoed, they rode all the way from Samoa to Vanuatu, which is a huge distance, and they came asking for the bones of John Williams. And when they came, they also brought the same gospel that John Williams attempted to bring. And this time, the people from Vanuatu accepted Christ and bowed their knees. The Samoan people have been a light to that area. I believe that there's a call on the Samoan people to go into all that region and make disciples, preach the word of God, spread the gospel. So this next video is a video where we actually went to Tana. This is where the Lord has led us to go. Tana is in the Vanuatu group. Vanuatu has 83 islands in the one nation. There's only one Bible school in the whole nation, and I believe it was Presbyterian. Praise God, the Presbyterians have hooked up with us. But now there's a Rhema Bible Training Center in the principal city of Vanuatu, these 83 islands. There's two Bible schools there now. And we're so thrilled with that. But this next video is about 6 minutes long. It's a mission that we did 2 years ago. 1,061 people gave their hearts to the Lord in a space of 11 days. 11 people went in by foot. Sometimes we had a truck, sometimes we didn't. We hiked mountains, we fjorded rivers. We went into all different villages, and many, many people accepted the Lord. So here's a closer look at the vision of Uttermost Witness and one of her actual missions. And I want you to notice all the altar calls and all the people raising their hands to accept Christ. That goes to your account. There we go. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
This just came up in my heart. Let's do this in America.
Amen.
Let's do this in America. Let's do this in America. The uttermost parts of the earth, but in the main countries, in the main cities, in the main towns, in the highways, in the malls, in the markets, people now more than ever need the hope that only comes from knowing Christ as Savior, Christ as healer, Christ as a provider. And we have this message. We cannot keep it to ourselves.
Amen.
I'm going to keep going into the places God has sent us. James and I will be going back March 4th. You handle where God has placed you. We'll handle where God has placed us. And I believe together we will reach the last places in America, the last people in America, the last people in the uttermost parts of the earth. There's so much to say, and my heart is so divided on what to tell you. But I wanted to share just a few little stories about this mission, but also we went on a mission this, 2018. We went to two other islands called Ambrim and Malaku, and I believe you donated gas for that as well. These two islands in the Vanuatu group, nobody wants to go to them, because the people are still cannibals in some of the villages, not all of the villages. But in some of the villages, when the high chief dies, the whole village will eat him. And I'm sorry, I forgot there were kids here. Are you guys okay? I'm so sorry about that.
I need to hear it.
Of course, as you noticed in some of the videos, there were Christian churches on some of the islands we went to. In some of the first scenes, you saw a building that had a tarp over the roof. They had just had a cyclone come through, and it destroyed most of the churches there. They were begging us for building materials, for wood, for cement, which you don't have a cement factory there. So many needs there. But as we would say, where are the people that have never heard? Where are the people that no one will go to? Where are the people that you don't want to go to? And this last trip in Malakua and Ambrim, we met with a church there, and they pointed us the way. That village is over this river. We crossed this river, same river 16 times. And they started crying as we were about to leave. They said, don't go. Please don't go. Please do not go. We lost contact with our crew for 4 days. We had four people on the ground. There were no cell phones. There's no internet. There's no means of communication at all. I made the mistake of telling some people that they were cannibals. You know, sometimes that's a mistake. Have you heard anything yet? You know, people that love us. Have you heard from them yet? Any calls? There's no phone. Have you seen them yet? Have you heard anything yet? Have you heard anything yet? Thinking they're going to call. No, we haven't heard anything, but check your heart. They're fine.
Yeah.
Check your heart. They're okay. Check your heart. They're well. And so after 4 days, they emerged from the jungles of Ambrim and these villages that even their own people said, don't go to these people. They had accepted the Lord.
Amen.
And they had taken applications to come to Rhema. And that's another thing that we're dealing with, getting them from that island to the island that the Rhema is actually on. But you're playing a part in all of this. Some funny stories while we were teaching and preaching, we used the example of bread. Jesus was the living bread that came down from heaven. They said, what's bread? What's bread? And we said, you don't have bread? No, we don't know what bread is. What do you eat? We eat bananas. We eat bananas. One of the men, Pastor Arthur, he was the one that led the older man in salvation prayer. He was talking about ice cream. And I think you guys get an idea of where we're going. There's no electricity on many of these islands. Sometimes if we have a night meeting, I don't know where they got it, but there's a generator and one wire hooked to it with one light bulb. And we preach under that one light bulb. And you saw maybe one nighttime altar call. You could barely see the people in that sea of darkness. But you go in and you talk about ice cream. And I think his sermon was, I could tell you all about the ice cream cone, but it's better if I just give you the ice cream cone for you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Something along those lines. Very inspirational. And everyone is looking like blank. What's ice cream?
Yeah.
Never heard of ice cream. Never had bread. Never had a Snickers. We went up to Puka Puka once, and this was about a 3-day trip, and the island had about 78 people on it. We brought apples, we brought oranges, we bought bananas, we brought Coke, we bought Fanta Orange, we bought Sprite. That's about all we have down there. And we couldn't go on to the island, but the chiefs were invited onto the ship, and we met with them to plan another meeting to come and actually do a school there, which is to be continued. Well, they came onto the ship, and almost the whole island, of course, wanted to come onto the ship. They were there in a little barge, and they saw those oranges. They saw the apples. What's that? Oh, that's an apple. That's an orange. They grabbed 10, 15, 20. You know how you hold stuff in your T-shirt and carrying it around? Kangaroo pouch kind of stuff. You've never seen someone drink a Coke and... Because they don't know, right? Places like that. And you know, if they don't know what Coca-Cola is, Coca-Cola is worldwide.
Yeah.
And bread is pretty common. And everybody knows what ice cream is, right?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy if you don't. If they don't know what bread is, if they don't know what Coke is, if they don't know what a Snickers is, if they don't know what ice cream is, do you think they might not know who Jesus is?
Yeah.
And so many of these people, when we opened the school in Vanuatu, and this is 3 years ago, I went down, and the first day we had three people show up, kind of like that. You know what that is?
Yeah.
And so we opened it up to the public for free and said, just come and check us out, come and see. The elders of the church came, a lot of men, the council of churches came. And I started preaching from Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, what Brother Hagin taught us, have faith in God. I started sharing testimonies. I shared Brother Hagin's testimony. I shared along faith, the lines of faith. And the older men, 60, 70 years old, some of them started crying in the back. And these men stayed for school and are graduates now and are licensed and ordained pastors now with us. And they're starting churches in these remote islands. But they came up to me after the class session and said, they were crying. They were crying, men crying, and telling me, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've been an elder of a church. And I have never heard teaching like this, ever. And I am so mad. I am so mad. Because I thought I knew it all. And I thought I had it all. And I am finding out right now that I have missed so much. The people of Vanuatu, the people of Samoa, and next the people of Fiji. And we're believing to have 30 training centers all over the South Pacific. I might not live to see the day, but I believe this calling is intergenerational. And when I go, the next generation will pick it up, and we need to train our children to take it seriously, this great commission. We need to train every generation that they need to pay for the great commission happening. We're training our children. The most valuable thing in the world is getting the gospel out to other people.
Amen.
That's what we use our money for. That's what is the most valuable thing on this planet. So I believe that we'll reach our goal of 30 schools and one for each major island group, and then probably more if the Lord tarries his coming. But what you're doing by supporting this vision is really opening the door into the Pacific, where the word of faith especially. Now, the first missionaries came less than 200 years ago and basically taught people how to be born again. But that was about it. There was nothing more to the message. And we've come in maybe 100 and something years later, and people have come and said, we've been praying for someone to come teach us. We've been praying to know more about the Word. We had another gentleman go over to the Tahitian Islands and teach faith, basic faith messages. And a woman came up to him after the first session, and she said, do other people in the world know what you're teaching us? Because I've never heard this in my life. I've never heard that I can pray and ask God for something along the lines of healing. I never heard that I can believe God and stand in faith to receive healing. I've never been taught that in my life. Do other people know these things? And the minister said, well, yes, they do. And this is just a basic message on faith. And she said, why haven't they come?
Yeah.
Why haven't they come? I believe what's happening in the South Pacific actually is got to happen because Jesus said it.
Yes. Amen.
It was the last thing he said. He said that this message would reach the uttermost parts of the earth. And sometimes when I'm maybe not feeling like the greatest missionary in the world, I think he said it. And the moment he said it is the moment it became unstoppable.
Yes. Amen.
So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the thing that I sent it to do. So I know as a missionary that's sent to the uttermost parts of the earth, I know this is happening. And this isn't just happening, it's like a runaway train. It is unstoppable.
That's good.
It is unstoppable that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, and I believe we're going to do everything in our power to get these islands reached. Now, we were in a couple islands. A Tokelau group has three islands. There's 250 people on one of the islands. There's 465 on the other island. And there's about 600 or 700 on another. And we hit all three of these islands in a couple days with the ship. The first island we went to, the population is about 400. Altar call there, 250 people gave their hearts to the Lord. That's over half the population of the island. Now, we're dealing with smaller populations. You understand that? But wouldn't it be awesome when that trumpet sounds, if it's going to be in our generation? Wouldn't it be awesome if those three islands in the Tokelau group, when the rapture occurs, there is no one left on those islands at all but crickets? Wouldn't that be awesome? If we evangelize the world to a place where when that trumpet does sound, most of this earth's population empties out and hardly anybody is left. I think that way as a missionary. How about nobody's left in America after the trumpet sounds? Because we did our job here. How about nobody's left in all of Samoa because everyone bowed the knee, everyone accepted Jesus as Lord, everyone confessed him. Everyone is gone when the trumpet sounded. I think about these things because with the populations we're dealing with, it's possible for an entire island's population to be taken by the rapture. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So, what we're dealing with and what the Lord has specifically said to me as a missionary there, and I could tell you my missionary story, but it's not that exciting. I never dreamed I'd be a missionary, but here we are. Several years ago, the Lord said to me, and it didn't make sense, he said to me, the last names. the last names. And I said, what does that mean, right? What does that mean? He said, the last names. And the Lord began to speak to me. I didn't hear an audible voice. If we get time to teach today, we'll talk about hearing God's voice. But the Lord said, you understand that there was a first name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? There was a first human being who accepted Christ's offering, Christ's sacrifice. At the beginning of any book, there's going to be a first page, and there's going to be a first name written in that book, right? I know, and I don't know everything, but I know the first human beings on earth when the Lord Jesus returned from offering his blood on the mercy seat. He walked through the walls they were hiding in that upper room, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, most theologians believe that this is and was and forever will be the first occurrence of people being born again and completely renewed on the planet. And it was from the 12. Of course, Doubting Thomas was not there, and I believe Judas went out and did something he shouldn't have. But the first 10 that accepted the Christ, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they went out on the day of Pentecost after that, and I'm sure it began to spread. But the first public meeting where an altar call was given was the day of Pentecost. It's recorded in the Bible, where the Spirit of the Lord, there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house. There were 120 believers there in that room. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. It went out into the streets. And Peter, one of the 12, and who I personally believe was the most aggressive disciple in terms of becoming like the Master, the most aggressive disciple in learning how to operate in faith, he was always the one, can I do that? How did you do that? Can I do that? If that's you, tell me I can walk on the water. The one that tried to mirror Christ more than any others, and we see that the Bible followed him, and his ministry really did mirror Christ in Acts chapter 5, where his shadow was healing the sick. But isn't it amazing that on that day of Pentecost, for the first time on the earth, in a public setting, a man stood up and offered what had never been offered before, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, risen from the dead. What must we do to be saved? Yes. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and you shall be saved. And you will also receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. It is for all generations. This has been set in motion. And we know, was it 3,000 that day gave their hearts to the Lord? The first public altar call recorded in the scriptures. How would you like to be the first man on the earth to give the first altar call on the earth, and the first 3,000 names from this public altar call come in and they're written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How would you like to be the first one? Praise God. I don't think Peter had any regrets walking away from that fishing business. Because there's some things you don't want to miss. Peter gave the first altar call on this planet, but not the last.
Yes.
And so this is where the Lord was bringing me. The last names. The last page. Someday, somewhere on this planet, a human being will stand up, maybe in a remote village, maybe in a big city, maybe in some place that's famous, maybe on an island that no one has ever heard of. But someday, for the last time, a human being will stand up and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to people that have never heard, people that have never received. These will be some of the last salvation messages before the Lord returns. And we understand where there were the first knees that bowed, there were the first tongues that confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord as history unfolded. We understand that there will be someday on this planet somewhere a last altar call where for the last time, not the first time, but for the last time, a human will stand up and say, Jesus died for your sins. And He paid the price so you can come back into fellowship with God. And if you believe on Him, and if you believe that God raised Him from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that this happened for you, and you accept it right now, and bow your knee, raise your hand, you will be saved. That will happen on this planet a last time. A last time. And the book, the names will be written. The book will be closed. And the trumpet will sound. I believe with all my heart that uttermost witness is a key to these last salvation messages being preached to the last people in the last places on the earth. And we've come all this way today. To tell you that God is serious about finishing this job.
Yes. Amen.
But not leaving people out. Reaching as many as we can. Here where we are, but even into the remotest parts of the earth. The love of Christ is so undescribable. As you guys sang today, thank you so much. That was beautiful. He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. We were on this island again of Malakua, and there was a man there, older man, and we began to talk about God. Now, people that have never heard of Jesus have never heard of God, and the concept of God, to them, they worship a higher being. They know that someone created the mountains. They know that someone made the stars, and that's good, because Paul said that if you've never heard Christ preach, you should be able to just by looking at the sky know that God exists.
Yes.
And that there will be no one that is without excuse. And I know that's kind of tough.
Yep.
But here's this older man who'd been looking at the stars all his life and wondering, how in the world did all this get here? How did I get here? Look at the ocean. Look at this place. Look at the volcanoes. And our ship pulled up to that island, and those four people went out, and they hiked through the jungles, and they made it to his village. And you don't think God loves you? You don't think He'd go that far for you? You don't think God loves people? You don't think God cares about people? That He would pay this kind of a price to deal with so many people, and even getting Kelly Dunnick into the ministry and a ship into our hands. And there's so many stories I could tell you. But we began to preach about how God created us. Who's God? God is God. God is God. And telling the story of creation, Adam and Eve. Who's Adam? Never heard of Adam. Never heard of Eve. Never heard of anything that we find very common. Even people that aren't Christians know who Adam and Eve are. But this man on this day found out his father was God. And his great, 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 great grandfather and grandmother were Adam and Eve. And he accepted Christ that day. And he brought his little grandson with him. And he was so overcome and so thankful. He was praising God all the way as they walked home to the village. They walk everywhere. There's no cars. And he walked right by his house. So overwhelmed, so overcome. And the little boy tugged, he said, "Grandpa, where are we going?" And this is all being translated, and the stories were told. And he said, "I have heard things today that I have never heard in my life, and I will never be the same. And I'm just so thankful and so overwhelmed, I just walked by the house." Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So these last names, I believe, and really why we came today, is to thank you for allowing us to be in places where these men can go in and preach to people that have never heard. These last salvation messages, these last altar calls, the last knees are going to bow. I believe this with all my heart, with uttermost witness. Otherwise, it's too expensive. It's way too much effort. It's way too expensive. It's way too much trouble. But this thing's unstoppable.
Amen.
God is going to reach these people. And I believe through this ship we'll see the last knees bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the last tongues confess, and those last names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So Amen. We've come all this way to thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. I could go on and teach another 3 hours if you'd like me to. But I believe maybe there'll be another time.
Amen.
Praise God. Before we do go, I'll just put this in your ear and say, no, don't teach the whole message. God is reachable. And God has set things up on earth now that you can contact Him and He can contact you. You can talk to Him, and He can talk to you. In a lot of Christian churches especially, the word faith is used very loosely. And we believe that faith is a condition of not knowing anything, being completely in the dark, not hearing anything from God, not receiving any kind of indication on what to do or how to solve a problem, how to win a battle. But faith is just this mystical place of not knowing what to do, but somehow we're going to be okay, not knowing anything, not hearing anything, not receiving any messages from God, not receiving any victory instructions from God. That's not faith. God answers prayers. And I want to just, as we look at the Bible just quickly, God hears your prayers and God will answer your prayers immediately. Now, as a young child, I was never trained that God will speak to me. I was never trained how He would speak to me. I was never trained how to operate spiritually. I only knew how to operate mentally and physically. So I was always trying to get physical answers from God and mental answers from God, where God doesn't broadcast mentally or physically. He is a spirit. In order to hear from God, You will need to hear God with your spirit.
Yes.
God will speak from His spirit to your spirit. Now, most people aren't trained to develop their human spirit to a place where they can actually hear God speak to them, give them an answer, help them solve a problem. That's what I believe Rhema Bible Training Center is for. I can't train you in 5 minutes to hear God's voice. It is a process. It doesn't take 50 years, but it doesn't take 50 years for sure. It doesn't have to take, even 4 or 5 years. You can get up and running spiritually very quickly. But this is what I believe the Lord would have me share with you. From the beginning of God's relations with man on earth, beginning with Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and was very clear. He told him, you're going to be a father, and through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. There was no, what? There's no, could you say that again? Because I'm not quite sure what that means. God spoke to humans, they understood what He said, and faith came.
Amen.
Moses backed up to the Red Sea at a time in his life where the Egyptian army is about to destroy a nation that he just rescued. He is backed up to the Red Sea, and if he ever needed to hear God answer him, it is right here.